You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carter, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Top of the evening to you, my fine friend, and to everybody out there in Bigfoot world around the globe. What's been doing, my good buddy?
Oh, my God, I tell you, there's so much action going on, it's impossible to even start.
No, it's amazing. It really is. People don't understand. You know, when you have a Bigfoot hotline, as we do, and, you know, I got to tell you something, Bill. We were paid a very big compliment the other day, and it was by a gentleman. He was well-educated. I got to tell you this. The man was, as a matter of fact, he was a professor, okay, out of Princeton. And he says, you know what, Mr. Biscardi? He says, I applaud you and your team. And I said, why is that? He says, I've tried calling about five other so-called Bigfoot organizations before I got to you guys, and you were the only ones that picked up the phone. Everybody either says you have to email me and get back, they'll get back to you, in which he's done that now 5 days prior to getting in touch with us, or leave a message and they'll get back to them, and of course 5 days have gone by and nobody has called them. What do you think that's all about, Bill? Why is it that when everybody calls us, and you can ask our guests, you know, if you don't pick up the phone, it's myself.
Yep.
Why is it that these other places, these other so-called Bigfoot organizations, don't do that? Why?
I don't know. I don't think they don't have a hotline, or the hotline they have isn't really hot. Evidently, they're not very interested in getting real fresh activity.
I think you hit it right on the head. That's it. You know, they talk about it and they try to go through the paces, but the problem of it is that that's it. They don't really want to take the time.
Well, I not only get a lot of calls for sightings and for other types of, you know, not necessarily sightings. Sometimes there's noises and footprints and other things that they just don't know. But there's a lot of people, and in fact, a lot of high school people, believe it or not, girls and boys, that call me, and I answer the phone, and they want to ask questions. And they want to ask questions about the creature, about, some of the first ones, is it real, or why do I think it's real? But they really are interested and inquisitive, and they really want to find out about it. So I talk to them, and I answer their questions, and then I give them some information of where to go to find it, and including, you know, our website, but not just ours. There's others out there that have good information, and we try to do that. So, you know, we kind of help people as well as take calls for sightings and for encounters. And
well,
I think that probably helps.
It's very well true what you're saying. I also got to tell you something, Bill, and I have never been doing it. I have not been doing it, but there was a guy named TJ, like my son TJ, Tom Jr., but that's his initials, TJ Pierce. And he called up and wanted to know how he get into the business. Have you talked to him yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so, and then I told him, I says, you know, I'm a proud author, myself and my team, of 6 documentaries. And, you know, a lot of those documentaries answer a lot of the questions that you might have. And there's the old adage, especially in my school, being old school as yours is, a picture describes 1,000 words. So you might want to go up to the website or Amazon.com and take a look at the trailers that we've got up there on searchingforbigfoot.com, and maybe some of those jackets on the DVDs will catch your eye, or maybe the stories will, and then order one or two and check it out. Well, you know, he did, and he called me back, and he says, Tom, he says, wow, were you right? And he says, I never knew that you guys went into such detail doing what you do. And it made me feel good, Bill. You know, it's not that
we're
just there answering questions or helping people or schooling people. We just do that, okay? It comes natural. More so with you, because you're more like, in the Italian words, called a professore. You're a professor. And, you know, when somebody asks you a question, you go into detail. And I'm going to tell you people around the globe, listen to me very closely. If you ever do ask Bill a question, he's like Funkin' Wagnalls. Those of you who are old enough to know what that is, it's an encyclopedia. He is a walking Funkin' Wagnalls encyclopedia. And if he doesn't have the answer and it doesn't come off the top of his head, he will get you the answer. That's how smart this man is. He wasn't in our armed forces and didn't retire. How many years? 30-some-odd years, Bill?
Yeah.
And you were a commander, correct?
Yeah, lieutenant commander.
In logistics?
No, in communications.
Oh, communications. That's what it was, yeah. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he is the man to get your back. Well, I'll tell you that right now. Because no matter what I've ever asked or whatever topic we've ever approached, my gosh, is he well-schooled. And if he wasn't well-schooled in it, give him a day or two, and he'll come back and find out the origin and where the word came from and how the whole thing was all about. And I praise you for that, Bill. Kudos to you many times.
Well, thank you.
because...
Well, you know, Tom, our first guest didn't make it on yet, John, and John's been on here now for three different times, and John is the 15-year-old researcher just starting out, and for the guys in the chat room, we say researcher. I mean, you can be definitive on things. Somebody made a comment in there that we're not a researcher, we're investigating. What does a researcher do? A researcher is not a scientist. A researcher is somebody that researches information, okay, about whatever it is that they're going to research. And it doesn't mean that he has a scientific lab. And we do research. I call it research, and other people do as well. And I call that research. But you may not agree with me, and that's fine. But that's the word we use to describe it. And but anyway, we had John on, and he's gotten pointers from several of our continued guests, our family, our Bigfoot family guests, Rocky, Steve, and also Anthony, and they've told them different things to look for, and basically how to bait the areas or what to look for in the areas. Things like that. And he's been following their direction. And I got a call from him the other day, and he was telling me that, again, this week he put out, he's been putting out a camera. And his camera, camera that he puts out there, as long as the camera is there, he gets pictures of all different kinds of little animals, that eat up. And he puts some marshmallows and a bunch of stuff out on a stump in an area there, and he had pictures of all the animals doing it, but nothing touched the peanut butter jar that he put out. And he put a peanut butter jar out there with a cover on it, and nothing touched it for 3 days. So he took the camera away, and he went back the next day. And the next day, the peanut butter jar was gone. And he went searching around the area, and he found the peanut butter jar top. So something screwed the peanut butter jar off the top off the peanut butter jar, and there was all kinds of peanut butter smashed around there, I guess, and ate it, but he couldn't find the jar yet. So, and he's had several other things happening. He's found a lot of what they call layer or formations where they've been laying down, and he says it's not a deer. It's something else. It's something like human, and it looks like a human curled up, and it's got little twigs and branches that are laid up on top of it. So he's really doing a really smash-up job. That guy is out there, and he takes his dad with him, and he's out there, and he does this stuff day after day. He's been bitten by the Bigfoot bug, Tom.
Bill, and it's not just our newfound young man that's doing this. Anybody who really gets the tenacity and the know-how to get out there, get out in the brush and physically see for themselves what we've all seen. You hit the nail right on the head, Bill. They get the bug.
Yeah.
They get the bug. Our guys are out there now, that they could be spending time with their families. One guy has just given up his home life, and he's on the road constantly ever since Mississippi.
I got a call from Bill Coffey the other day.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's up in Colorado.
He's not there no more.
But he's leaving. But, he was there for 7 days. Yeah. He was fasting. I said, what are you eating? He said, I'm fasting. He said, well, you better not fast for more than 5 days or you ain't going to be able to walk.
He's one of the guys that I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. He was in Mississippi with us. And it was his own trail trip camera that he put up there. We baited it together, all of us, the Ron, Mac, myself, Jim Dawson. When we came back, and what he saw on that damn trail trip camera, it bit him until the day he is right now, and he's all over this country. He's just all around. And it's not just him. It's just a lot of the people that's been with us. Our guys down in Arkansas right now, they're business owners.
They're out there. I got a call from Rocky.
Today?
No, the other day. if he was going to try, if they were going to be in an area, he was just going to, I told him not to make any effort to do anything, to come on the show or anything like that, because, that's a lot of, they're out there in the wilderness area for nowhere land, and they have little, you know, campsites that they've set up already. And
they're gone for 30 days, and that's
they're going to be back in September.
Yeah, the points I'm trying to bring out here. Here are these guys are business owners, and they've taken from their families not to spend their time off each year with their family and kids, like, you know, normal people go to Disneyland and vacationing to other states and everything. These guys are bit so bad that they made a point of taking their vacation time together with another Swede, another Bigfoot hunter, because they've both seen it. They both shot at these things, you know, and they know it's there. And these guys are great, not good, but they're great trackers and hunters. Now, there's a couple of things, Bill, I apologize to you and our fans around the globe. A couple of weeks ago, I got a little ticked off at one of our fellow researchers, but rightfully so. And I take what we do very seriously. I haven't been doing what I've been doing because I thought it was a joke. I do it because I love it, number one. Number two, I've been bit for over 40-some-odd years. And I take offense to people who come up and said, well, I'm sitting here listening to this BS, meaning bullshit, for those of you who don't know what BS means. And I don't stand for that. This is our livelihood. We built this radio station, Bill and I. I mean, we're going on, what, 7 years now, Bill?
Yeah, going on 7 years.
7 years, ladies and gentlemen. You don't sustain for 7 years coming up there for BS. Now, I know I get hot-headed, and if I offended anybody, I'm sorry. I really am. I mean, nobody...
Well, the individual that said that called me. It was not meant in any kind of a serious manner. It was meant as a joke. And he told me it was a bad joke, and but he didn't by any chance mean anything bad toward you. He's been a very active follower with us he's been our friend for many, many years here, and he said he would never do anything to hurt or do that. But I understand when that happened. Lit off like you did, but he in no way meant to mean that in any way, shape, or form. And he called me after the show just to make sure that we knew that.
And that's fine, okay? But again, if I offended anybody whatsoever, please, I apologize. And if you want to prolong this thing and it means anything and it's really got you in a crawl, call me. I'm as close as your phone, guys. Or send me an email. I'm not inaccessible. I am very, very accessible most of the time. So the key to it is, you know, let's get on with our lives. Let's go forward. Again, my apologies are out there. So I don't think we're going to have our young friend today. So let's get to our second guest. Let's get out.
Yeah, well, I've got a couple other things before we get into our second guest, Tommy.
Go ahead.
I just want to just let you know, I got a call from Tim Fasano today. And he's getting ready to go out there, and he'll be on next week to let us know what took place. And I also got a call from George, and he said no matter what he had to do, he had to tear himself away from what he wanted to do and go home to deal with financial stuff, and he's on his way back there now. We'll probably hear from George next week.
I'm sure we will. I got that same call. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who sent me the emails concerning the shooting of Bigfoot, seeing that guy on one of his recorded, he's like Al Cater, you know, when he's recorded tapes. Let me just put one end to this one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, all he's doing trying to refuel the fire, and it's not working, okay? He didn't shoot any Bigfoot. He did not have the Bigfoot that he supposedly shot was pregnant. That's also a lie. And by the way, when he went back there, there was a little Bigfoot hovering over the dead Bigfoot, and as soon as he walked over there, apparently the creature came up into his arms and hugged him. And that little baby, who isn't a baby now because it's been since last October, has gotten big, has bonded with him, and supposedly on the 15th of this month he's going to show or the live Bigfoot or not. Let me tell you something. If any of there was any truth or any credence to any of this, ladies and gentlemen, don't you think we would have seen it on the TVs, on the radio, on the newspapers? Don't you think our government would have gotten involved? And, you know, he says it was being studied and held in Las Vegas. Come on, man. You know, the public, the people here are too smart in this world, and we've come too far. Let's just go on with our lives and just note that this guy is what he is, and everybody knows what he is, and I'm not going to give him any credence any longer. We got anything else to talk about outside our guest tonight,
Bill? No, we don't.
Okay, well, let's get to our first guest. I guess we're going to Mississippi.
You darn tootin'.
All right.
Our good friend, Theron.
We got Theron. Good evening, Theron. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I just woke up about 10 minutes ago, and Marco Bill called, you know. I said, whoa, I got to call in here. And just when I was looking for the telephone number, Marco Bill called, so I'm here.
How have you been?
I've been doing pretty well here. Things are looking good, and I enjoy doing my work at my work site. You know, I feel like I'm contributing to the cause. But things are the same here. I'm hearing stories. Not recent stories lately, but everybody knows that I'm the Bigfoot man here locally. So they will give me a call or visit me and tell me their experiences or encounter, which they've had before in the past. And we're still here, and we're still gathering information, and we're still gathering these little stories, and we're still Bigfooting around here, and I think we've had a couple of recent sightings, and which is very exciting and thrilling for me, because now that I'm part of this group, you know, it's like you get bitten, you know, like I'm a show business. You know, when I first got in on stage and sang the song, and I just fell in love with it. You know, show business, and I'm still involved in show business today. It's the same thing with looking for Bigfoot. You know, it's in my blood. And I'm still Bigfooting today.
How's Mama, by the way?
She's doing all right. You know, past 7 months ago, we almost lost her, you know, and the doctor said family ought to get together and, you know, be with her for her last it could be just any time, but she pulled through, and she's doing good. And I talked to her the other day, and she talked about her experience with her sighting of the creature walking past her yard. And I like the way she imitates the creature as he walked, and she imitated the creature, and she said the creature was hunched over, you know, and each time it took a step, his arms were swinging, you know, and every time we took a step, it was, his gait was, the way he stepped was farther than a human being would, you know. And so, and she described it to me again and talked about it. You know, when she talks about it, you know, she's really sincere about what she saw, you know. But, you know, my niece and my sister, you know, I think they've seen it so much that it's just common around, it's commonplace, and, you know, they don't show any fear, or they don't, you know, it's just something that's a part of their lives now. So, you know, it's been kind of quiet around there, but there's actually no sightings for a while, but my mother swears that the creature comes by at some times, you know, because she can feel it, she can smell it, she can hear the wood knockings out in the woods behind her house or beside her house. She can hear, you know, something knocking on the wood, and then there are these screams and guttural growls and screams that she hears every now and then, you know. So she believes that the creature or creatures are still roaming about behind her house, you know. So I go over there every now and then. I look around to the woods, you know, and I notice these oak trees. You know, they're very young oak trees, and they're bent. You know, they're bent, and it looks like an upside down U, or looks like an N. You know, then there was these X's. And I was wondering, I went through and I didn't see those X's, and the next time I went to the same place, there was a couple of X's made by these long trees, and the tree looked like it had been pulled out by its roots. The tree must have been I'd say around inch or two in radius, circumference, and you know, I know that a man just can't pull that thing out of the ground by its roots, but something did. So I saw that, and I saw all the bent trees, and I went back, but maybe a couple of weeks later, something like that, I went back to it again, you know. And those X's are gone, but the bent trees are still there. And, you know, there are these, my uncle was a logger, and he had several huge tires, you know, really heavy tires, maybe 4 or 5 feet, you know, tires, you know, and they're very heavy. Something has taken those tires and just thrown it here and there, you know, and I noticed it changing positions and all that, so something strong has to have picked up these heavy tires and, you know, just rearranged them, you know. So we got something going, and I think the most recent sightings that my cousin had told me about, when was it, a couple of weeks ago, was there was a sighting at one of our communities, Choctaw Indian Reservation communities, called Standing Pine, you know, and my my cousin, there was some kind of commotion outside with the dogs, and so he happened to look outside, out in the back of the yard area, and there he saw this creature walking past his house, in the back of his house, and walking past his shed, and walked into the woods, you know, and that was pretty exciting, you know, and people are, you know, just, well, there are a lot of folks are just as excited as we are, Tom, and I know that you've been at it for about 40 years, and you're still thrilled and excited about what you do, and I'm thrilled and excited about doing all this, and people here are thrilled and excited just to have, you know, just to tell me their stories, and many, many of the people that have approached me now have had their own either encounters or sightings. So we have, I guess, what do you call it, a hotbed or
hotspot.
I don't know. Yeah, so, you know.
You know, I got to tell you something, Theron. You're truly blessed. And let me explain why I'm saying that to you. We've been out there by you, what, 3-4 times?
Yeah.
You got a great group of people that's got your back. I'm going to tell you that, number one. One in particular is a guy that we've gone to love, and which we know that you love him, is Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Mac is a real trooper. Mac mm-hmm. is a guy, whether you're down, you're high, you're low, you're in between, he's there for you, man.
Oh, yes, he is.
I know he is for me and my guys. And if there's anything that we could do for him or you, you know that we're there for you guys. But I got to tell you, the reason why I'm bringing him up in particular, he's gone, not 100%, but 125% above and beyond the call of duty. Believe me when I tell you that. And those kind of people are far and few between.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, you should really bless the ground and cherish the ground that man walks on, because he's got your back, I'll tell you that straight up. Do me a favor, if you get a chance, anything out there that's going on hot right now, let us know. I got a guy that's roaming towards that area.
Yeah. And the other thing, Tom, is, you know, when we talked last time, you know, you had suggested a talk with authorities here, you know, about Bigfoot research, because there was some kind of word going around that people didn't want Bigfoot researchers here, but I talked to our attorney general, and he said he has told me that he doesn't see any reason why you should be here, and he said there's no laws against Bigfoot research here, and he said you are quite welcome. Come here and do your research.
That was very nice of him. That was, I remember talking to that man. He did extend those courtesies to us.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it was just, and you probably have a hunch who it was, but this person probably said a few things, you know, to spread gossip. Gossip around, you know, so that he can himself get the glory of, you know, finding Bigfoot himself, you know.
I hear you loud and clear. I know the story.
Yeah.
Been there, and it's not just there. It's been all around the globe.
Theron,
mm-hmm. thank you so much. You see Mama, tell her we miss and love her. Can't wait to see her. Can't wait to be back mm-hmm. to your fine area and your hospitality. Just mute yourself out. We got your other brother coming on right now, and towards the end of the show, we'll put a hodgepodge of everything putting in together. Maybe people have questions for you, okay?
Oh, well, I got to go right now, so I'll talk to you another time.
Be well, my brother. Thank you for sharing
all
your wisdom with us tonight.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Theron out there from Mississippi, Choctaw Reservation. Without any further ado, we're going to stay out there.
Do you want to go on a commercial, Tommy?
Why don't we do that? We need to sell something out here to pay for this.
Yeah, we need expedition money, bud.
There you go. Yeah, let's do
here
that.
We go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Well, and we're back.
You know, every time I listen to that little titty, ladies and gentlemen, that's anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. I was talking about that guy that we talked about at the top of the hour. Those of you who have not seen that movie and need to see it, because I'll tell you what, nobody ever knew that we were going to have our own videographer there filming all this stuff, and he did a hell of a job because that movie won us Best Documentary at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival. But there's some footage in there, maybe macabre for some, and very enlightening for others. You really need to get that. If you have not seen it, go to searchingforbigfoot.com. You'll see it, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, and purchase it. Tell me what you think. Without any further ado, we're back there in Mississippi. Let's talk to our good friend, my brother, Mac. You out there, Mac?
Hey, Tom. And hey, Marco. Good to see you.
Well, good to hear you, for sure. I can't see you right now. But
I got a good imagination what y'all look like. Hey, look, I just appreciate y'all so much, and I wanted to say this right quick. There's a lot of people out there, Tom, that have seen these creatures. A lot of people don't know what to do, and let me just make this suggestion to them right quick. If they've seen any kind of creature, don't tell your brothers and sisters or your people who you work with. Don't tell your spouse or anybody unless you really can trust them. Call Marco Bill, call Tom Biscardi. Let them talk to you first, because I went through a situation. I won't ever go through this again. I had my boss and everybody ragging me at work. It almost drove me insane. But I got on my knees one night, and I prayed God would take care of that boss for me. And he sent him, next Monday, he sent him 900 miles away from me because he got into some trouble. And so I'm telling you, I think I got the good Lord on my side, too. But these people need to call somebody who's had some professional experience to tell you what to do and what not to do. It's, you don't know when your family or friends are using that against you to stab you in the back to get in a better position. I've had that happen. So I think it's best if they call you. Don't let this lay on their mind. They need to call somebody that knows what they're doing and talk to them.
You know, and thank you for that. But I'll tell you why. Because a lot of that has happened with us throughout the years. And people don't realize it until it affects them personally. And I know the case that you're talking about in particular. And you're exactly right, Mac. I think he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, you've had this kind of experience or an encounter. Maybe it is a good idea to keep it to yourself for a while until you get somebody that's got the knowledge and know-how. And because you'd go to a place of business and you start talking about this thing, these people look at you like you're little nuts. So think about questions for a minute.
Tom, they'll use that against you to get in a higher position.
Hold on, I was going
work.
To that. Let me. There's a PS to this story, so let me finish.
Sure, I'm sorry.
Please. So, in Mac's case, you know, he's at a lateral with another guy, and if they were had an opening somewhere, and I'm just using this as an example. I don't even know if that's the case, but if there's somebody can get up to the next level, and if it was Mac and this other guy who got thrown out 900 miles away or 90 miles away, whatever it was, he's going to go there and say, hey, well, listen, my opposition is a little nuts. This guy believes in Bigfoot, and he goes out there spending his time and his money doing this, and, you know, all I care about is I'm a good company man, and I just want to make sure that this company goes above and beyond and further. And I hear you loud and clear what you're saying, Mac, and you're exactly right. You really are.
There's so many people.
If you do have an encounter or you're seeing one of these creatures, keep it to yourself for a while until you do talk to a professional, because otherwise you're going to have a lot of controversy and a lot of BS one more time in your life.
I wish I had talked to you or Marco before I went and told people. And that taught me a lesson, and so I'm just trying to carry that on to other people. But let somebody know that's got some professional ability to tell you, and it's just like a psychiatrist to me. It's really helped me to talk to you. But do you care if I just start off telling you some quick stories right quick that's, I think, pretty hot?
Please do.
Well, Ron mentioned a person a while ago that had seen one recently. So I jumped on top of that. A kid saw a creature outside of his window about 9 o'clock. So he ran back in the house and went to screaming and telling everybody. So the family went to the back door and they watched this creature walk off and straight walk off away from the back of the house. Now, I checked that out yesterday. It happened to be like 4 miles from that little horse farm, and it's southeast of where y'all were. It's about 18 miles from where y'all were when y'all were here. Now, I got out yesterday and I talked to these people, and they said I talked to the boy, and he was about 16, 17 years old. He said he looked out his window, and we went out to exactly where the creature was. And they got a pile of garbage that they burn a lot, and a bunch of garbage right there is about 3 feet by 10 feet wide. He said he looked out, and the creature was bent over looking into the garbage. And when it stood up, he said it was a bright night till he could see it good, but he could just see the back of him. And then it just shook him up, so he went and told his daddy and family that they all went to the back door, and the creature had turned and went in a big hurry. It just walked to the backyard and turned and walked away from the house, and it kind of drops off into a little bottom, which I would say, well, it would make a nice 12-acre lake out there with big trees all the way around it, but it's just cut over. It's not a lake, but it would make an ideal lake out there. And they got to see the image real good. Now, just interfere with me or jump in there anytime you want to, but I'm just going to tell you what happened. He said, I'm going to call this guy's name Lewis. The man, the father, I call him Lewis. And Lewis said that he couldn't see the front of the creature, but the creature had long arms, was tall. I said, well, I'm almost 6 foot here. I raised my arms. I said, was it this tall? They said, look, he could be a little bit taller than that, which being 8 feet or a little taller. And I said, between 400 and 600 pounds, do you think he weighed that much? And Lewis said, look, I think he weighed at least 600 pounds. And the whole family, the kids and everybody watching this creature, but it was not in a hurry. He just kind of walked off into that bottom, like I said, which made a beautiful lake right there, but it's surrounded by virgin timber, long, tall trees. But And I got to thinking, I said, man, what a perfect place to put up two cameras, one on that garbage pile. The garbage pile was not but about 10 steps, which would be about 30 feet from the boy's window. Now, what bothered me was it just blew the fool out of my full moon night theory, because they said it was a full, like a bright night full moon. And so me and Swede and Rocky had talked about, you know, one of these creatures on a full moon night move around, because I don't see a lot of deer and things like that. The only thing I see on a full moon night is like fox. I see a lot of fox on full moon nights, but I don't see, I'm not saying you don't. You will see a deer too, or you will see some other wild animals, coyote, but not nearly as much on a full moon night. But this night, it was such a big light, and they were facing the east, which moon was coming up. There's a full moon, and you can imagine that creature was between them and the full moon. It just a beautiful, really a beautiful sight, really, if you took some pictures of it. I asked him, did he see the hair? Did he have long arms? And they described it had long arms. Now, the kicker to this is there was a lady next door. She passed away 8 months ago. But before she passed away, she kept telling people there was a big creature in her yard. And you know, people kind of, well, they said, well, why would she be glad? She's on a deathbed, you know. But she said she kept seeing this big creature. And if this close to 600-pound creature is right there within two houses, it's a big thicket all back down at that bottom. But if you could, and I'm telling you, it would be a beautiful place back there if all that cutovers not grown up in thickets. And it's perfect rolling hills, ideal place for deer. Oh, it's just hunting places. Now there's one more little kicker to it. Right across the highway, they live about 100 yards off the paved road. But across the road from them, get this, there's a new swimming pool. Think about in the summertime, all the kids having a good time and the ladies laying out, you know, that's their entertainment. So you get the picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure is. Yeah.
Now, it would be no problem, I don't believe, to put up two surveillance cameras right there, one on that garbage and one in the back where you can see straight out the back. Now, I did that little investigating yesterday. I would have done more, except I've had some situations where my mom had a stroke and my stepfather got a crushed hip, and then somebody tried to break my house this past week, and I called the sheriff. I said, don't y'all come out here. I just want to tell you somebody tried to break my house, but I'm going to be out there in about 15 minutes. I'm going to take pictures, and I'm going to tell you who it is in about 2 days who did it. Within 36 hours, I had whoever it was. I found them. I was desperate to get my dog chased them out of the house. So I'm changing the subject here. I just had too much on me to get out here and really investigate like I want to, but I'm getting ready to.
Fair enough. I understand. All right. Well, listen, thank you for sharing with us. I didn't know that we're really pinching, getting on here. But stay close, because we're going to have a little caucus at the end. Okay, Mac?
Okay, great.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mac out there from Mississippi, another fine friend. Without any further ado, let's get out there to my good buddy Anthony, as he's got some rocking and a rolling and things still happening out there. How are you, Anthony?
Doing good there, Tom. How are you?
First of all, how is the weather? Is it still muggy?
Still muggy, but it's been getting cooler the past couple days. So, you know, I'm sure it's because of the clouds coming through the air and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure. How's our good old area out there?
It's hot. It's hot. There's I've been listening to some of the folks that in the company that have been around there, and they just happen to be talking about some strange things going on. But I have yet to go into detail as to what I've experienced over there. But definitely in that particular – I'm sorry?
Why might that be? What we talked about earlier?
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, some people don't –
I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, yeah. So, but
– what's going on out there now? Tell me. Talk to me.
There's been a few new formations right around that particular area. It seems like that area where we had casted the footprint, that exact location, it doesn't seem like there's a lot in that spot. But it does a little bit just further away, like where the tree stand was set up. And, you know, there seems to be some new formations there, some things that were knocked down. There is near the substation, I mean, there's a huge tree that was just, like, pushed over. I mean, you know, just, like, uprooted. It looked like it was trying to, wanted to be bent over, but I guess, you know, the tree just kind of got uprooted. And that's just my theory, you know, just from what I could see. I don't know what happened, but, you know, you look at it, the trees, you know, fell over, but the top part of it, you know, was kind of bent, and that was by, you know, all those, and then that was close to where the huge formations were, right behind the substation. So,
is that tree stand that we put up still there?
What's that?
The tree stand that we put up, is it still there?
Yes, sir, it is still there. It is still there. I talked to the homeowner a few months ago. About 2 months ago, so it was the last time I was in that area, and you know, he said we can come back whenever. So, you know, we're still welcomed.
That's wonderful, you know, to have reception like that from people like around there, and it's just a wonderful thing, isn't it, Anthony?
Yes, yes.
What's happening with our friend up to the north there?
He's doing good. I happened to get with him recently, a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he's. You know, he was retired, you know, he just got himself a full-time job, and so, you know, he's working now. Yeah, he's not retired.
Everybody
anymore.
Gets called back one time or another because they get bored, and I know it loud and clear.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Listen, let's have our little caucus going on. Everybody unmute yourself and come on out, and if anybody's got any questions for anybody else. I'm going to let you, Bill, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I'll let you handle this part of the show. I've got a lot of things I got to be going out here doing because we're going out tonight to investigate. But I just want to thank you, everybody, and I wanted to make sure that we're all out there and still have strong feelings towards each other. And I want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart participating here with us tonight. So I'll leave you on till next week. God love you all. Kudos and salutations. Till next time,
good
America.
Good night, Tom.
Good night, my fellas.
Good night, Tom.
Hello, everybody. Well, I see we got Anthony, we got Mac. Steve, are you there, my buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, Marco.
There you go. I can't tell because I don't mute yet. You mute yourself out, so I have to. Well, before we start in here, can I tell you guys something that I forgot to tell you in the beginning of the program about our little friend John?
Yeah.
From Massachusetts is a 15-year-old that has been on the program here about, two, three times now. He didn't make it tonight. I don't know why, but I'll find out. But he went up this past week, and I told you about he set some fruit out, and I told you that as long as the camera was there, he did pictures of all different kinds of little animals and things, you know, eating the marshmallows and other stuff. But both the fruit jar that he left out that had a cap on it and the peanut butter jar that he recently left out here this week with a cap on it, nothing touched it while the camera was there. When he took the camera away the next day on both counts, the fruit jar was empty, and all licked out inside. The cover was off, and both the fruit jar and the cover were in the near vicinity of the tree. And you got to understand, I mean, there's a cover on the jar. That means something has to unscrew it, right?
Right.
And to my knowledge, I don't know an animal other than a human or something like a human that can do that. So then the same thing with the peanut butter jar. Now, here's the other thing that happened to him. He's had a lot of rock throwing that's happened. And one of the things that happened earlier that he didn't tell us about is he had a tennis ball. And now something threw some rocks or was throwing rocks and other things out, and it would bounce, not real close to him, but, you know, where he could see it. And evidently he left a tennis ball out there, an orange tennis ball, and it got disappeared. It went away. Well, the other day when he was out there with the peanut butter jar, guess what he found? Something had laid his little tennis ball right next to the stump where he had the peanut butter jar.
Wow.
So, you know, and we can't say for sure. I mean, we don't know for sure. But, guys, I don't think that there would be a...
I don't think there would be a
raccoon or anything that would carry a tennis ball around, do you?
Or take the lid off of a peanut butter jar. That'd be kind of hard. In fact, we all put more peanut butter jars and let them take the caps off. And maybe leave some more tennis balls, too, you know?
Yeah,
but
isn't it
that
amazing
off,
that kind of stuff happens, isn't it?
Taking that cap off means a lot, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough.
So, I mean, he's taken a lot of everybody's suggestions to heart. Steve, Anthony, Rocky, all of the suggestions that he got a couple weeks ago, he's working on those. And now that he's found out that the camera is an issue, he's trying to find a way that he can mount the camera so that it won't see it, and that he can, you know, get a picture. And so that's what he's working on right now.
Yeah, the camera thing is what a lot of people have had issues with, because it seems like they got a way of knowing where those cameras are. A lot of situations like that.
We've had our own. I mean,
right.
If you recall, it used to be on our website here, but Frost, Texas, we had a lady up there that was having all kinds of encounters and gifting rocks, pretty little rocks, agates and stuff set up on her porch, rock formation set up. We had her powder down the porch area where her trailer was, and she had actually footprints of the big footprints of some kind of a creature using flour to,
I would just say if he put some flour out there, too, it would help maybe pick up some prints sometimes, the flour.
Well, and, you know, especially in hard spot areas where you can't get an impression. But anyway, when they were out there, we have a picture of the creature's hand in the peanut butter jar.
Oh, really?
With its two fingers in the peanut butter jar, and then we made a mold out of that. We actually have the fingerprints of that, you see. And this happened about a year, 2 years ago now. And so there's other incidents that took place, several incidents that took place, where these creatures are gifting and leaving gifts. We had a lady about a year ago from Iowa. Was it Iowa? Yeah, Iowa. And we actually went there in the wintertime, but it was like the coldest part of the winter where everything was dead. But she had the incident where it was leaving her little bones and stuff from small animals. And so, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of people that we've had in the past year that have been guests on the show, encounters, that have had this gifting thing. As you know, Jim from Arkansas, you remember him, right?
Right.
He, the railroad ties, 19 railroad spikes.
Right.
And in a place where they have no railroad spikes that you can find anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Marco,
I'd like
to see John put just a little offering table right there where he found the tennis ball and the peanut butter jar, and have an offering table there and just check it pretty often and put the flower in there too.
Well, that's what he did. He actually has a stump. Yeah. He had a stump out there.
Great,
and it's
great.
A stump.
That's
and
good.
He set everything on the stump, and he found the ball next to the stump. But it was gone. I mean, it was gone a couple days before the week before that or something like that.
Stump is the best thing for offering table, I think.
Yeah. But the problem was is every time he leaves the camera, every time he mounts the camera, he doesn't get anything. Every time he takes the camera away, the thing that he leaves there for bait disappears. So I thought it was kind of a neat thing. And as young as he is, he's doing pretty good. I mean, he's doing a lot of stuff. And his dad is helping him as well. What do you guys think?
I don't mean to talk too much, but I'm going to tell you, John, to me, is one of the most interesting guests that you have ever had on your show. I love to hear him talk. And I think he is just gets a lot of attention. I love the way he talks. And he's so serious, and he's smart. Smart kid.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had... Man, more young people that interested, you know?
Yeah, well, through the years, we've had in fact, Austin and Tyler, nobody remembers them from about 4 or 5 years ago. Austin and Tyler had their own teenage Bigfoot organization. And they would come on weekly, bi-weekly or whatever, whenever they had things going on, and they were doing their research out in their areas. But through time, obviously, you know, they're out of high school now, so they're off doing their real life things. When they were in high school, though, they were avidly involved in it. But we've had from people from time to time, young people, and it's a pretty neat thing. So how's everybody else? How's everybody else doing? How do you think, Anthony?
Hanging in there. I'm just waiting to go out the next one more time, you know, before school
Steve,
starts.
How are you doing?
Oh, you know me, trying to get the motorhome running and so I can head back north and do what I do best.
Aha. Well, you got any plans?
You can't find no Bigfoot out here in the middle of the desert. That's kind of hard to do.
No. Hey, Steve, that's not true.
Hey,
I want to have to send you some of my pictures.
Hey, Steve.
But on the other hand, now something I never told Tom or you or anybody else, when me and the other half were coming up, I think from Bakersfield over into Tehachapi, you know, what we call the grapevine, I looked off in the distance near the foggy area, and I could have swore I saw something looking at me in the fog, but I wasn't sure. I thought maybe my mind was just playing tricks on me.
Well, let me tell you. Well, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we had a lady that used to go out there and photograph. She was a photographer. She was a professional photographer, and that's what she did for a living. And she had got together with me, and we had her on the show several times. And she had sent some photographs. Now, they're all copyrighted, so I can't show them to anybody. And she made sure I was aware of that, so I can't show them without her permission. And she has disappeared, away, so I can't show them. But I'm going to tell you, there she has some very, very good pictures that we've had analyzed by several people. And one was a picture of a female with a baby Bigfoot on its shoulder sitting in behind some bushes.
Wow.
The other looks like male Bigfoots sitting in behind bushes and things and rocks. And I'm going to tell you, their color is almost the same color as the background of the rocks are.
Wow.
That is really interesting.
Where I live, there's no trees, especially all desert mountains and cactus.
That's what this is. It was all desert. This is all desert and rocks.
Hey,
and what we're talking about when I say bushes, you know these little, what they call, what the heck, palms are they? And the cactus.
Oliverdes?
Yeah, the cactuses and stuff. Some of those grow to be, I mean, that's not what I want to talk about when I say that's the only kinds of bushes we're talking about. And there's bramble kind of bush,
right.
You know what I'm saying, bramble bush. They're not leaves on them. They're just
like
sticks, like chaparral or something out of the ground, right, that grew in the rainy season there.
I'm just type of person. I can't see no animal with as much fur as these things have out here in 125 degree heat. That's just insane.
But, Steve, what I'm telling you is these pictures were very clear, and it wasn't only one. I had about five different pictures of, and these are clear.
These
are not hidden. These are very clear that when you magnified the picture up from the background, it was the resolution of the photograph was good enough to be able to determine that that was, a creature. You couldn't, it was in a distance, if you know what I'm talking about. But when you can see in the distance, you can see the facial features, an arm hanging onto a branch.
Wow.
Okay? And, I mean, these aren't twigs and leaves. These are,
that's incredible.
It was something.
Hey, go ahead. Steve. Can you hear me, Steve? Hey, we were talking about the desert and different places. Okay, the desert and different places where you might see something. I used to study the different scrapes of a deer of a buck, and finally one day I got the best information. A guy that was a good deer hunter, he said, just be ready to see one anywhere, anytime. And from then on, I started thinking about the Bigfoot. I think it's be ready to see one any place, any time. You never know where you're going to see one of these things, you know.
Right.
I would like to say one more thing, Marco, before I get off here. There was a sighting right after the 4th of July fireworks right here where we are. A guy topped the hill at the fireworks show and saw a big creature, and he turned around, came back, was telling everybody, and I haven't had a chance to talk with him, but a lot of my friends told me where it was. But my friends didn't know that was the same area where I'd seen that juvenile 2 years ago cross right there. So I don't know if the fireworks spook them up sometime, or maybe they like fireworks too. I don't know. But I thought I'd tell you that this 4th of July.
Well, my gosh, that's pretty neat. I like that. Well, anyway, I guess I kind of overdid myself tonight. We're way past our little time. I'm sorry, guys. Does anybody have any last words to say? I'd like to do is thank everybody for coming on the show.
If I have any of my last words.
Well, good night, everybody. We'll see everybody next week. Everybody keep Bigfooting. Keep the Bigfoot going. Good night.
Good evening, Steve. Y'all have a good night.
Good night, Tom.
Good night, Marco.
Theron, have a good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.